Peace and welcome to For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with us this evening, folks. We are broadcasting live from the Carl J. Murphy Fine Arts Center here at the illustrious Morgan State University for the Presidential Distinguished Speaker Series, where we'll be talking to civil rights icon Reverend Al Sharpton. We're going to have that conversation tonight, along with talking about the homegoing celebration of Nipsey Hussle. We got so much for you, and I got a very special co-host, Mr. D. Chase, checking in. So you don't want to miss 1 minute of these conversations. Stay tuned. A whole lot is coming at you on tonight's edition of For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. Now let's check in with NPR.
I do this for my culture.
Welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks, as we are broadcasting live from the Carl J. Murphy's Fine Arts Center here at the illustrious Morgan State University for our special conversation. As we're going to be having a series of conversations as part of the Presidential Distinguished Speaker Series that's going to be hosting civil rights icon and leader, Reverend Al Sharpton. Now, before we get to Reverend Sharpton, we have to do our due diligence in making sure that we represent Morgan correctly. And so tonight, we're going to kick off the conversation with Morgan's own president, President David Wilson, in a few moments, as he's going to talk to us about this speaker series, the impact that this series has, and how he's able to really connect with some of the top black voices from across the country to be here for students and alumni and for the larger community of Morgan State University. Now, also joining us in this conversation, we have one of Morgan State University's very own. He's an alumni of Morgan, a proud alumni, and he's certainly no stranger to the airwaves of WEAA and, of course, on For the Culture. My big brother, D. Chase of Stand Up Baltimore, will be joining us for tonight's special broadcast. I'm always happy to have him with me. D. Chase, thank you so much. How are you, sir?
I feel absolutely super fantabulous for us.
Just like D. Chase, to kick it off with some words we have never heard before.
Well, we know the English language is a growing language. It's not a dead language, so we can feel free to add the words that we think should be in the language.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, speaking of language, I want to jump right in, folks, because this is an opportunity for folks to really hear and understand what is going on here at Morgan State University. There has been a lot of growth. There has been a lot of development. But some folks are saying that there is a new beginning, a second coming of Morgan State University. So we are very honored and distinguished to have joining us with us right now live the president of Morgan, President David Wilson. He is no stranger to the airwaves of For the Culture, and I'm so happy to have him once again to talk to us about the very big and bright future of Morgan State University, but also to talk to us about this Presidential Distinguished Speaker Series featuring Reverend Al Sharpton. President Wilson, thank you so much for being with us. How are you this evening?
It's always a pleasure to be here on For the Culture.
Yes, sir.
I think this is the second time I've been on the show.
Yes, sir.
This is always a great opportunity for me to connect with listeners and bring them up to date about all of the things going on here on our campus.
Absolutely, absolutely. First, President Wilson, and I think D. Chase will certainly testify to this as well. There are some big things that are going on our campus, major things. And right now we're seeing the construction of that great building right on the corner of Cold Spring and Hillen. Talk to us a little bit about the latest. You've always been keeping us up to date on these latest developments around campus.
Well, we are in the middle of a half a billion dollar capital expansion era here at Morgan.
We have opened two new facilities in the last 3.5 years. Of course, our $80 million new Morgan Business Center, that is home of the Earl G. Gray School of Business and Management. We opened that about 3 years ago. And then a year and a half ago, we opened a companion building that is next to it. Both of these are in the Northwood Shopping Center. That was another $80 million building that houses our Center for Behavioral and Social Sciences. And then the building that you just referenced is a $90 million building that will be completed in the summer of 2020, known as Tyler Hall, and that will hold all of what we call our front door offices here at Morgan, our admissions and financial aid, and records and registration, all of those offices that are right now in the Montebello complex. And then later this summer, we are going to start the process of raising or tearing down the old armory building, the red brick building that sits on the corner of Argonne and Hillen Road. And we have gotten approval from the state for $149 million. Mm. And we will break ground next year on a building that will go on that corner that will house our School of Social Work and our School of Community Health and Policy. And then finally, I've gotten the General Assembly and the governor to agree to a $250 million appropriation for a new state-of-the-art science complex in Morgan, and we'll get the first allocation for that in 2022. And so we are taking seriously here the state's destination of Morgan as its, quote, preeminent public urban research university. And of course, we have to have the facilities in order to accommodate this newly designated mission for Morgan.
And Dr. Wilson, what is the timeline that for the completion of most of these projects?
The project that is underway right now will be completed in the summer of 2020. This is the Tyler Hall building.
Yes, sir.
The building on the corner of Argonne and Hillen Road will be completed in late 2023 or early 2024, so 5 to 6 years. And then the new science complex, if we get the first appropriation in 2022, it will take us about 5 years to complete that, so we're talking 2027. So within 10 years, you will see all of these new facilities dotting the Morgan landscape in addition to the newer ones that we've been able to put on the landscape in the last 7 years.
The last time we talked, President Wilson, we talked about the Morgan Mile, which is that stretch of the road going down Hillen Road, and it extends all the way into the communities right there at Hillen and 33rd. What's the latest on that? And you know, we're talking about a 10-year time span. Can we expect some more development, some more relationship building within that 10 years with those respective communities at the end of the Morgan Mile?
Well, absolutely. And when we put together the Morgan Mile, this was a process that took several years because we wanted to make sure that this was a shared vision. It was not just Morgan coming to the table with, quote unquote, the expertise that we have and assuming that the community had no expertise. That would have been a recipe for disaster, quite frankly.
Right.
And so we wanted to make sure that we did our own due diligence and really, really listen to the communities, and we wanted to figure out how the communities really saw their own communities within the next decade and 2 decades and 3 decades. And so with that in mind, we have like 5 strands within this Morgan Community Mile. One is education, and so we're focusing on all of the schools within the Morgan Community Mile, the K-12 schools. And we want to see the children in those schools not just perform at grade level, but exceed it. Mm. Another strand was economic development, and there it has taken us several years to work with the owners and the developers of the Northwood Shopping Plaza to make sure that we can eliminate this desert that we have here. In terms of food desert and shops and restaurants, and so we announced that we had reached an agreement with the owners and the developers. We announced that in November of last year, and that is somewhere between $50 to $100 million redevelopment of Northwood, so that's the economic development piece, and to bring the kind of shops to our area that we haven't really seen here in decades. And then there's a public health component. You know, we conducted studies, and those studies concluded that within the catchment area, the 1 mile area on the campus, we have a high incidence of obesity and HIV and hypertension, and we have these baseline metrics, and we're trying to, over the next several years, put in place several initiatives that would drive down those numbers. And so we've been able to secure some federal grants to reduce smoking. We have a high rate of smoking within the mile, and we got $1 million grant to go and put in place educational programs in order to reduce smoking that could lead to other ills. And then last, Northeast Baltimore is so beautiful.
It is.
It is
I
so
grew up in this neighborhood.
and we have a lot of green space.
A lot,
and
yes,
we
sir.
Want to make sure that that we embrace environmental sustainability. And so, you know, how do we build and really preserve, you know, more spaces for our neighborhoods to just really enjoy the beauty of nature?
What is the, a couple of things. One is, you speak about green spaces. What is the plan to continue to cultivate the green space? And as we talk about public health, you know, there's a large conversation that is happening right now about the importance of city gardens. And can you give us some insight as to where you and your administration, what's the vision of Morgan being a part of those conversations, especially in Northeast Baltimore, where there seems to be a little bit more green space here than probably in some other areas of town? Can we expect to see some city gardens cropping up more on this side?
Yeah, I would think that certainly we will see that in the next couple of years or so. If you go down Hillen Road right across from the communications building, you will see that our nutritional science program already started a community garden, and that community garden has been in existence here now for about 3 or 4 years. And so we are using that as the impetus to begin to work with homeowners and so they can see how they can use their backyards and create some, you know, raised beds to plant fruit and you know, some vegetables. And so this is certainly an agenda item for us. You know, how do we actually create more urban gardens that are in backyards of homeowners here in Northeast Baltimore?
Absolutely. Folks, if you're just tuning in to For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, absolutely the voice of the community. I am talking to President David Wilson, the president of Morgan State University. Second time being on For the Culture, giving us some insight about the latest moves and developments here on that's happening on campus. And I'm saying to all of the Morgan State alumni, you should be very, very proud right now that all of these great things are happening here on campus. Dr. Wilson, you mentioned earlier about the General Assembly. This General Assembly session, which just ended, I found to be the delegates and the lawmakers, they touched on a lot of pivotal key issues affecting Baltimoreans and Marylanders, but more specifically Baltimoreans, like I haven't seen in previous General Assembly sessions. What was your take of the session, especially as it relates to funding for Morgan and other HBCUs, as it relates to resources for the city? What did you see coming out of the session? Did you feel like this was a good session for Morgan, for Baltimore City?
Well, you know, first of all, I have followed the current commission looking at what we need to do in Baltimore City in order to invest more in our public schools.
Yes, sir.
And so I really want to applaud all the members of that commission for the thoughts that went into producing a document there with recommendations that if the state is committed to implement and fund on a continuous basis could lead to tremendous achievement above what we're seeing now on the part of our students in K-12. And so I was very pleased to see that the first phase of funding to actually start the implementation of those recommendations came out of this General Assembly. I believe it was in the tune of about $800 million.
Yes, sir.
$855 million.
Yeah.
And so that's the first step. And so as President of Morgan, all of my attention cannot just be focused on the perimeter, I mean, on just the footprint of Morgan State University. We have to pay a lot of attention to what's going on in K-12 because that's our future. And so it is in Morgan's best interest to be extremely supportive of an elevated quality of education at the K-12 level. So I was very, very pleased with that. We also saw a couple of bills that were passed that, of course, will benefit HBCUs. Delegate Nick Mosby passed a bill which creates a tax credit for individuals who actually would want to make a donation to either Morgan or Coppin, Bowie, or UMES, and in doing so, they would get a state tax credit on their income taxes and then possibly use that in some way to create a credit on their federal income taxes as well. We are very, very pleased with that. And so there's another initiative that we are extremely pleased with that is coming out of the legislature, this session this time around. But quite frankly, it is a little bit premature for me to announce. We will.
Oh, you gave us a tease.
Just a little
bit. I'm ready for the big moment, right? He's like, it's too premature right now.
you can have me back when that happens, right? This will be like the third time in 6 months or so.
Right, right. That's what that is.
Hey, Faraj, you have to take the magic bubble out of his hand.
Okay, well, we're going to have you back because I'm really interested. I'm like, what was it?
Faraji, I want to ask Dr. Wilson a question or two, if I could. Dr. Wilson, you have a unique ability to toe the line between community, government, and corporation. Easier question is, what process did you go to or go through to make that seem so flawless?
Well, it is in the best interest of, first of all, the federal government to invest in Morgan, because with an appropriate investment in Morgan at the federal level, we are returning to the United States of America a great dividend. And so when I go on the Hill and I speak with our congressional delegation and individuals who are not in our congressional delegation, but they have to understand what Morgan is and what Morgan's value is to the United States, I always try and take with me a very strong value proposition statement. So that's the strategy that we follow when we are trying to get Washington, D.C. To invest more in research centers at Morgan, in understanding that our students at Morgan, many of them first-generation college-going students, they need higher Pell Grants in order for them to get through the programs here. But then, with regard to the business community, it's the same approach. We go from the Silicon Valley to the Northeast to the Midwest, and we're making the case in the corporate community that if you're truly interested in having whatever, the University of Michigan or to Harvard or to Stanford or to MIT or any of the other schools, you're not going to get a diverse workforce when those schools are graduating only, you know, 4 or 5, you know, blacks in engineering per year.
Wow.
And then you have 400 companies going after those 4 or 5. And so if you really are interested in that, then you got to come to a school that is producing, a critical mass of those graduates. And so those kind of arguments have taken root. And so in the Silicon Valley, for example, 5 years ago, we had 0 Morgan students out there. This past summer, we had 19 students interning at Google. We had 6 at Facebook and 2 at Intel and student at Apple and IBM. And so that's the argument we make in the corporate space.
That's fantastic. Dr. Wilson, we got a few moments left, and we are certainly grateful for your time. But I want to give our listeners an opportunity to understand what this Presidential Distinguished Speaker Series is all about, because you will be hosting Reverend Al Sharpton, a major voice, some say controversial. Dr. Wilson is like laughing and joking. He's like, oh boy. But we know that that the good Reverend, he has a lot of good things to say. He has certainly has the history and the experience. But just a few months ago, you had the Honorable Loretta Lynch. You've had Dr. Khalil Muhammad. You've had Maxine Williams and Charles Blow. I mean, there has been a notable list of these doorways to expose and share. Talk to us a little bit about this series and why are you doing this series? And most importantly, what do you plan, what do you hope folks will walk away with tonight?
Well, first, Morgan stands firmly on the foundation of free expression of ideas. And so this series is open to individuals who are provocative in thought, who are innovative in thought, who are on the cutting edge of thinking about the issues of today and tomorrow. Some of them have the ability to look around the corner and see things that we cannot see and to bring that perspective to us. And so we had Thomas Friedman here, for example, who wrote The World is Flat and Thank You for Being Late. And he's really just one of the incredible visionaries of our time. So what this series is designed to do is to introduce our university community to innovative thoughts through the words of people, some of whom the community has heard about, and others they have not, and to cogitate on those issues, to think about what they mean in the context of our daily lives, what they mean in terms of the way we see our city, the way we see our state, and ultimately, as one speaker that we had here last week said, would enable audience members to walk away understanding the two most important dates in their life, the date they were born and the date they figure out why.
Mm. Come on, Dr. Wilson, drop some jewels like that.
He just dropped it.
Wait, that's for something. I mean, you go
I just want to end the whole show. Like, well, folks, thank you for listening.
Drop the mic.
The date they were born and the date they figured out why.
Yes.
But I think that's what makes Dr. Wilson unique, if I can just add, just having the opportunity to spend some quality time, is that he understands how to create an environment so people can find their why. And I think that, I've been at Morgan State University or around Morgan State University for the last almost 30 years of my life. And we applaud you as alumnus of the university to be a forward-thinking visionary with a human touch. That is very odd, and we look forward as alumnus to support you in any way that we can. We believe in your leadership, and we look forward to being a part of the process.
Derek, thank you very much, and I tell you, we are just so excited to see our Morgan alums step up to the plate. They really have stepped up to the plate big time. When I arrived here, our alums were supporting Morgan at the 6.4% level, which means that 6 out of every 100 gave something to the institution every year. We've been able to raise that by almost 300%.
If we had a hand of applause, we would. That's fantastic.
Our alums, they invest in the institution, and we want to say to those that are listening, thank you. And then to our friends, we want to say that there is an opportunity here at Morgan for you to invest. You don't really have to be an alum of the institution to invest in our future.
That's what I'm talking about. President Dr. David Wilson, thank you so much for your time tonight to talk to us a little bit about the latest developments in the future of Morgan, but most importantly, to talk about why we are convening tonight here at the Carl J. Murphy's Fine Arts Center for your Presidential Distinguished Speaker Series featuring Reverend Al Sharpton.
We can't wait to hear from the Reverend. I actually was on a panel at the National Action Network last week.
Oh, yes, sir.
Talking about the future of HBCUs. And so he had a standing room only crowd there, and I was really, really delighted that the National Action Network understood that in order for the nation to be a competitive nation, as we shift in demographics, that HBCUs must be at the center of that dialogue.
Absolutely. President Dr. David Wilson. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. And, you know, we got to bring you back. We have to bring you back.
Yeah, for the big announcement.
Right, for that big announcement. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick pause. When we come back, we are going to continue the conversation as broadcasting live from the Carl J. Murphy Fine Arts Center. I will be talking to Reverend Al Sharpton just in a few moments. Join me and my very special co-host, DJ. Stay riding with us. It's all happening on tonight's edition of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. I do this for my culture.
You know, I called down to my mother raised me. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, but she moved back down to Alabama. And I called down. She's been sick last few years with dementia. So we've been checking on her every day. I thought about when I was reading a book on the plane the other morning, how my mother would make me do my homework and be going through books she couldn't read. And I would study some things in theology, and I remember I was trying to explain to her Paul Tillich and ontology and all of the things that I wanted to impress her that I learned. But if somebody asked me today the most profound theology lesson I learned from my mother who never got past the eighth grade. Why do I say that? Because all of the books I read don't help me when I'm facing a challenge. All of the theories I studied don't mean nothing through trials and tribulations. When the frogs start invading me, I think about what Mama taught me. She said, he may not be there when you want him, but he's always on time. I don't know nothing about no seminary. I don't know nothing about them books you read, but I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. I know the Lord. He'll make a way. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And I come to Allen tonight to tell you he may not be there when you want him, but he's always on time. There have been days that they laughed at me. There were days they would scandalize me. But if you hold on, hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand, build your hopes on things eternal and hold on to God's unchanging hand. I remember about 2 years ago, Obama.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with us, folks, as we are broadcasting live from the Carl J. Murphy Fine Arts Center here on the campus of Morgan State University for tonight's special conversation. It is the Presidential Distinguished Speakers Series featuring none other than Reverend Al Sharpton. And we just had a chance to talk to President David Wilson, the president of Morgan State University, just for a few moments to talk to us about the future. I am joined by my very special co-host tonight, Brother D. Chase, the Stand Up Baltimore, my big brother and an alumni of Morgan State University. And I can say this, Brother D, man,
come on now.
The energy right now, you can feel the energy is just, it's just feeling it. Folks, here's the thing. If you want to come out and hear what Reverend Al Sharpton has to say, you can come to Morgan State University tonight. Doors will be opening at 6:30 p.m. tonight at 6:30 p.m. here at the James H. and Louise Haley Gilliam Concert Hall right here in Murphy Fine Arts Center. You can come and hear Reverend Al Sharpton as he talks about civil rights in the Trump era.
Wow.
Civil rights in the Trump era. We're going to kind of expound on that a little bit. Also, of course, D, we are awaiting the arrival of Reverend Sharpton, who's looking going to give forward. Us a few minutes of his time tonight to talk about this. But, D, you know, we were kind of off air a little bit, but you were talking, you and I were discussing how the Reverend Sharpton, who's been in, I don't want to use this terminology of been in the game, because he's been in the struggle.
Been in the struggle.
Man. He's been in the struggle. And so he's been in the struggle for a very, very long time. And so it is an awesome opportunity to get to hear from one of our very own civil rights icons.
No question. The bottom line is it's about consistency. And we have the opportunity to have here at Morgan State University tonight a man that has been consistently working on behalf of our people for over 20 years, over 30 years, over 40 years. It is our honor to have him here. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he's just entered the building.
He's entered the building. He is on Facebook Live right now, folks. We are talking to Reverend Al Sharpton live here at Morgan State University, here at the Carl J. Murphy Fine Arts Center. Good evening, Reverend. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. Glad to be here.
I'm glad that you are here. We are glad to see you. Welcome to Morgan State University.
Well, thank you.
And welcome to the airwaves of WEAA and For the Culture.
Well, thank you again.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. We know you're going to keep it real.
I'm going to try.
He's made a life of keeping it real.
That's right.
You have made a life of here. So, first and foremost, Reverend Sharpton, talk to us a little bit about being invited to be a part of this Presidential Distinguished Speaker Series here at Morgan State University tonight.
Well, it's an honor to do that. I think that when I received the invitation, I was very honored. I wanted to be here, especially a part of the series, and to talk with students about what we're facing. We're at a critical juncture in the history of this country and the history of our people. And I think that anytime we can have an open dialogue, I'm going to speak and then do Q&A with the students, it is something that we need to do, because what we're facing, we need to communicate more and be real concrete in our discussions. So
absolutely.
I think it's very important, and I'm very happy to do it.
Absolutely. Your talk tonight, Reverend Sharpton, is going to be civil rights in the age of Trump. What does that mean, and what areas of the agenda, whether it's political, social, economic agenda, will that speak to?
Well, I'm going to talk about certainly the political agenda. The threat of our voting rights is clear, but also who we vote for and what we require of them. We just had our National Action Network convention.
Yes, sir.
And we had 14 of the Democratic candidates there. And it's not about just them saying what we want to hear, punchline. We question them on their policies on criminal justice reform, prison reform, police community, reparations. We need to know more than I'm just against Trump. There's a easy line to say I don't like Trump. But what does that mean? And what are you going to do? What are you going to deliver? Because I think that we are beyond just being impressed with rhetoric and charisma. We need concrete things. We have mass incarceration. A lot of our people are now watching the whole legalization of marijuana while we still have people in jail.
That's right.
That have done inordinate amount of time for marijuana. We have continued police abuse. And we have these hate crimes on the rise. Just
absolutely.
Today, they arrested a 21-year-old young white man in Louisiana for burning down three black churches and haven't even charged him with a hate crime. So there is so many concrete things that we must deal with politically, economically. When you look at gentrification, I was riding down Fulton Avenue coming here.
Yes, sir.
Blocks and blocks of dilapidated housing that developers are taking. And the crime of it, to me, is that developers are getting money from white money managers who are getting it from pension funds. And many of those pension funds come out of our community.
Wow.
So grandma's union pension funds is financing you removing grandma from her neighborhood. And why aren't we having more black money managers? Why aren't graduates of Morgan State becoming mortgage money managers so they can redevelop their community and own our community? So we've got to deal with that economic imbalance, as well as when you look at the lack of equity in pay.
Yes, sir.
And the lack of equity in terms of our having access to capital. So I want to deal with the economic part of it and the social part of it. Our investment in our public education with the present education secretary, we're not seeing what we should in terms of public education. They're trying to shift everything toward charter and private schools. But what will that impact
right.
in terms of preparing us in a technological era? So there's a lot of things that we need to concretely think about and deal with.
Absolutely. Folks, if you're just tuning in to For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Tonight we are talking to none other than Reverend Al Sharpton. He is our keynote speaker for the Presidential Distinguished Speaker Series happening here at the Carl J. Murphy Fine Arts Center here at the illustrious campus of Morgan State University. Reverend Sharpton, one of the big conversations that I've heard on your show, I am a listener
right.
on your show.
I
have
real.
To be, right?
Keep
I have to keep it real. But I really yeah. enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
But one of the big things that I'm hearing is, and we've had it on this show as well and on other platforms, the relationship between black people and the political parties is becoming more and more strained. Is this a legitimate and right time for us to start talking about a mass exodus from the Democratic and Republican parties for us to set up our own political party that's going to truly speak to our agenda? Is that the time right now?
The time is always right if the end goal is achievable. I think that both parties have violated us, certainly the Republicans more, in my judgment. But if we form an independent party, then we still are going to have to develop the infrastructure that it can deliver. And we're going to have to be able to elect people that can get legislation passed. We don't need symbolic moves. We need real concrete moves. So, for example, if we put independents in the city council, can they get enough votes to pass legislation?
Right.
If we put them in the Congress, the same thing. So I think it has to be done in a way that we have thought out where the end goal is, so that we're not just playing with politics,
right.
but we're engaged in real politics.
And Reverend Al, if I can ask a question, in terms of from a political strategist, the strategies of the 60s, would you argue that some of those strategies are still needed now, or would you advocate for a different strategy?
I think that some of them are still needed. I think that may be updated, but still needed. Because a lot of things that did work in the 60s can work now if they are updated. I think that a lot of us are more caught up in being new than in achieving the goal.
Right.
And we can't get into this, well, that was then, this is now, because now came from then.
That's right.
And I think that we need to learn how to respect that what preceded us so we can perfect it, work on it. When I looked at the 2016 election, for example, and they were talking a lot about we need new generation. Well, the youth leader in the 2016 election was a 72-year-old man named Bernie Sanders.
Wow.
So they're not practicing that while they're telling us that. We can't get into arguments that really don't hold water.
Right.
We need to deliver for our people.
Right.
So Reverend Sharpton, and I'm glad that you speak to that, because there is, I mean, here in Baltimore, the conversation has shifted to this space of there's a lot of frustration that black people have around with other black political leadership. We're seeing not just in Baltimore, but across this country. What is the future of black political leadership? Like, how can we get real leadership that's not going to be backed down, that's not going to be bought off, real political leadership that's not going to be afraid to speak out, speak truth to power?
I think the way that we have to do it is we have to set up the what and then come with the who. I think what we've done wrong in black politics is deal more with the who than the what. What is the goal? What is the policies we want? And then who best represents that? And I think we get more caught up in personalities, who turns us on, who has charisma, who has the pizzazz, and not really who fits this criteria that we need delivered at this time.
Right.
And I think that as long as we put the what ahead of the who should match the agenda, not the agenda we try to fit once we get somebody that we feel has the charisma and then we try to impose upon them a lot of things that they were never committed to or may not even be able to deliver on.
And final question, Reverend Sharpton. Last week we reflected on the assassination of Dr. King, one of your mentors. How do you think he would respond to the social political space that we are in, and how can we use the lessons from his leadership now?
I think the only way we can judge how he responds, and we're only guessing, is by what he did in his life. He'd be talking about dealing with poverty. He'd be talking about dealing with social justice. He'd be talking about dealing with the high criminal justice reform needs. And he'd be talking about our needs for social type of strategies that work, because that's what he did. What is ironic to me is we have people that did not study Dr. King, did not come out of that movement, that lecture us on who Dr. King was, rather than letting those that were the recipients of his work and those that were the students of his work speak for Dr. King. I mean, it amazes me when I go to a lot of King memorials and the people talking have no idea what Dr. King stood for. And his family members and former staff members and his staff raised me. I was 13 when Dr. King got killed. He'd just become youth director of his Operation Breadbasket chapter in New York. And a lot of these people talking, I know they didn't come out of that movement. They don't even know what they're talking about. And I think that we've got to stop the sanitizing of Dr. King and deal with the fact that Dr. King was a very committed and militant person, which is why they killed him. They did not kill Dr. King because he wasn't a threat. And a lot of the people that talk bad lived to be old men. Dr. King was nonviolent but aggressive, which is why they took him out.
Reverend Al Sharpton is in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give Reverend Al a warm round of applause for coming to Morgan State University. Reverend Al, we know that your time is limited with us on air as you prepare for your remarks tonight. And what can our people, what can the students in the community expect to hear from your speech tonight?
Well, they can hear the speech that E.R. Shipp wrote for me to make.
And that's just what it is.
Phenomenal writer.
That's right. What you get for showing up.
Phenomenal writer.
Reverend Al Sharpton, thank you so
thank
much,
you.
Sir.
Thank you.
Civil rights icon, founder of the National Action Network. Folks, we got to take a quick pause. When
keep
we come
real.
Back, we'll continue the conversation. Stay riding with me. It's For the Culture here on WEAA.
Keep it real.
Keeping it real, WEAA.
It will be ours. It will be ours. Oh. When the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory.
Glory. Glory.
Oh,
glory. Glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon. Formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours.